Ignition sequence start. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Liftoff.
Check, 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 check. I literally just create madness.
Boiler up.
I'm going to go off here.
They don't have a great quarterback.
I got to take a break. I'm getting in trouble.
To win the Big Ten, you first got to win the West.
Bad Bunny.
Have you heard his name in a while?
No.
Has it bothered you?
No. Defensively, they got to come in with some confidence.
Is that even analytics?
I am in a parking garage. I'm kind of lost.
Terrence Shannon, Matthew Meyer, RJ Melendez, Coleman Hawkins.
He's dropped the presentations all over.
I didn't come here to go 5-7.
I'm so proud of Illinois football right now.
I'm so tired of Joel Embiid.
We're not taking Patrick Corbin.
I want to bet the bear.
Oh.
You are Reba McEntire's niece.
Roshan Russell.
Coach Bielma.
You no longer.
Yeah, salute to yourself.
What?
We got all kinds of things for you here.
There's a lot of glass.
Oh.
Guys, we have breaking news.
Uh-oh.
It's the drive.
Schmack dogs. It is game day. Hello, a game day on a Friday. It is the drive, ESPN Radio. 93.5, The Drive with Say and Piper. I am Lante. Kyle Tosk alongside today. He and I are the only ones in here, in terms of the show, that is. So you will only have Kyle and I, but you will hear from the co-host, Derek Piper, at 3:30, live from Florida. And most would think that we're having him on for the Illinois-Kansas chat. And don't get me wrong, I want to get Pipes' thoughts on this game tonight that kicks off at 6:30. But I'm really anxious to see what he's saying about this Green Bay Packers and Chicago Bears game. Now, I'm going to be, of course, down in Florida, and I've already called a couple bars to make sure that they've got the ticket. In the past, of course, it would be to watch my team, but I actually am very excited to watch that Bears-Packers game at 3:30. So I'm thinking by then I'll be able to get checked in and then head down and just kind of settle into a little bar stool for a nice three-hour game. And see how much I can rack up in 3 hours. But I'm excited for the Bears and the Packers, and we will talk to Derek Piper at the bottom of the hour for that. All right, it is game day. Illinois, Kansas tonight, both 1-0. Kansas coming off a blowout win of Missouri State, which is an FCS team, 1AA. I'm done with it. And then, of course, Illinois coming off a 30-28. Just a narrow victory over Toledo. Caleb Griffin hits a game-winning field goal late in that game to help Illinois go to 1-0. Luke Altmyer played really well. The secondary played pretty well. So we'll see what can happen against a pretty good Kansas offense. Actually, a really good offense. And we'll get to that in a moment. This week, we had a chance to talk to Jay Layman, of course. We did that on Tuesday. That's always a fun day. And Jay had a great, I thought, soundbite essentially on this Illinois defense and how it needs to play better. We'll hear from Jay later on that thought. Luke Altmyer, of course, we had a chance to talk to this week. Wanted to talk to him and asked him about a short week and what that presents. And then, of course, Matt Tate, who covers the Kansas Jayhawks for Wave the Wheat, he had a couple of good soundbites on this Kansas offense, number one, and also kind of Kansas versus the world tonight. And the way he presented that, Kyle, was the sense that you're going against a Big Ten team. And it's something that I've never quite looked at yet or thought about. But the talk out there is you've got the Big Two, right? The Big Ten and the SEC and then everybody else. And while I understand that and I've thought of that, I've never really looked at it from the other side looking in. And I thought it was interesting that he threw that out essentially to say, you know, this could be a win for the other guys, if you will, if that makes sense. Yeah. You know, any time a team outside of the Big Ten or the SEC can beat a Big Ten or SEC team, then that's a notch on the belt. So that's something I hadn't thought about. And I guess, I mean, we can use anything to try to get motivation. Well, if they're using that, then so be it, I guess.
Yeah, it is really interesting to think about the perspective of, obviously, we're Illini fans, we're in the Big Ten, we know that as this whole realignment thing is happening and we get these two massive conferences within the SEC and the Big Ten that have the big TV deals, that Illinois is in that and is kind of in the circle there of the college football world. But you still got these Big 12 programs, these ACC programs. Obviously, the Pac-12's been gutted now, and those programs are leaving. It's interesting to think about it from the perspective of some of those other fan bases and programs when they're facing an SEC or a Big Ten team that, yeah, it is kind of a prove-themselves type of game with where everything's headed.
Matt Tate, earlier this week.
We saw what Kansas and the fan base and the buzz around the program and all that. We saw what that can look like when they can get off to a 4-0, 5-0 start last year.
Right.
It was phenomenal. And it wasn't just, oh, the stadium's full, or oh, college game day's coming to town. It was these guys believe in themselves, and they believe that they could beat anybody, and this program has arrived, you know, and so that was huge for them. And you obviously can't go to 4-0 if you don't get to 2-0.
Yep.
And so I think in that way it's massive. And I felt this too. I don't obviously cover Illinois nearly the same way, but I felt that for them too. It just looks like for both sides, it's that game.
Big
it's that
time.
Game that can be the springboard to, hey man, we can really get off to a 4-0, 5-0 start and really make some noise here early and kind of take that and run with it. Or we can go to 1-1, and we can have plenty of doubts about, you know, what are we, who are we, where are we going? And look, I think somebody's got to lose. We know that. and whichever side does lose, I think both of them have teams that are capable and coaching staffs who are capable of overcoming that and moving past that. It just won't be as easy. It's just so much easier to do with that excitement and that buzz around another good win. And from the Kansas perspective, you know, we've heard, you've heard, you guys are living it too. It's the Big Ten and the SEC and then everybody else.
Yeah, right.
And right. So this might not be Ohio State. This might not be Michigan. This might not be, you know, the cream of the crop of the Big Ten, but it's a Big Ten team.
Yep.
And if you can bring a Big Ten team into your house and you can beat them, that's a feather in the cap not only of Kansas, but the Big 12 Conference and really the rest of college football. So there's a lot at stake for that reason, and I think there's a lot of motivation behind that. I don't think these guys will tell you, we want to win this game because it's a Big 10 team. I think they want to win the game because they want to win every game. But I think that there are so many factors that go into why they're going to be up for this game, and that's a big one.
Yeah, and it's interesting, and again, we hadn't really thought of that coming from the other side. Now I'll come from our side, Illinois. This is a game that Illinois, obviously the underdog. I don't even know the line. I forgot
Last
to look
I checked,
at that.
I think it was 3.5. I'll
wow,
see.
It's that close. Okay.
As of now, Kansas -3.5.
Okay. And you usually get 3 points just playing at home, right? So essentially a half.
Yep.
A
they're, half point. They're Vegas basically thinks these two teams are even.
Okay.
It's a toss-up.
I think this would be a fun game nationally if you had nothing to do tonight and you didn't care about
For
either
sure.
team. I think this would be a good college football game to watch tonight. So I'll come at it from the Illinois perspective. I'll ask you later in the show your gut feel and who you think's going to win this. But is this one of those cherry on top of the cakes, on top of the cake if you win it? Does that make sense to you, what I'm saying? In other words, if you lose this game, you still have a lot to play for, right, the rest of the season. But you see last year you lost to Indiana, and it was something that you just absolutely sat there and just spit on the rest of the year because you just kept thinking, oh, if we would have beaten Indiana. Now, Kansas, I think, is a better team, obviously, than Indiana was. But it was still one of those situations that, man, that was a game we could have had. We could have had 9 wins, or we could have won the West, but we lost to Indiana. How are you looking at this one in terms of loss and win? Is it one of those that if you lose, it's not the end of the world, but if you win, it's like kind of that icing, and it's like, hey, that's going to be a nice little win on the resume.
Yeah, I think you kind of put it perfectly. Coming into the season, I kind of looked at certain games on the schedule and thought, that's going to be a tough one.
Yeah.
If Illinois can win it, it'll be a huge win, and it'll only elevate what they can be this season. If they lose it, it's not the end of the world. It's a game that you probably don't go into it expecting to win. I think this falls under that category, at least for me. I know some people are more confident, like Jason yesterday is more right. confident in Illinois winning this one. For me, I even in the off season when we talked about this game and how pivotal it was, I don't expect to win there. Illinois can win this game, but I don't think that a loss here would derail the season, would derail a 7-8 win goal for this season. A win, on the other hand, I think would be huge, because to go on the road and beat a Kansas offense that is this dynamic and to go to 2-0 heading into that Penn State game, I think then it only adds to, okay, now what can this team really
right.
do?
Right.
And you start thinking a little bit higher expectations. So that you kind of put it perfectly when you asked the question. I do kind of feel that way.
I said yesterday it'd kind of be like one of those, if you go out and take care of Kansas tonight by, let's say, 10, then all of a sudden I'm going to maybe start thinking about Illinois winning double digits in terms of victories this season, because this is probably one of those games that I had counted as maybe a loss. So all of a sudden now you're adding that to the other side of the spectrum, and I'm starting to think that Illinois might be pretty good. And I also think Toledo's pretty good. So I don't think it's one of those where we should look. Toledo's not going, you know, they're not going to go 6-6 this year. Let's be honest. Now, I know they're playing in the MAC. They're not in the Big Ten, et cetera. But that's a pretty good team. And I think Toledo would have given a lot of solid teams a scare on the football field and will this season. So it'll be interesting to see, be interesting to watch. Now, have we heard any news on Jaden Daniels and whether or not he is playing in this game?
Yes, we have, actually. Okay. Last I checked, Adam Rittenberg, who's been on the show quite a bit, reported that barring an unexpected change pregame, Jalen Daniels will start for Kansas.
Jalen, and I said Jaden.
And you said Jaden.
Of course I did, because I can't ever get him correct. So Jalen Daniels, and of course, obviously their other quarterback,
Jason Beam.
That's what I'm going to start doing now. I'm just going to start with the first initial and just go, yeah, until you fill me in on exactly what it is. But obviously, he's a solid backup. He played quite a bit last year. I didn't realize that.
Jalen Daniels got hurt. I remember Kansas started off 5-0, and then Jalen Daniels got hurt in that college game day matchup with TCU.
Ah, gotcha.
And he missed a few weeks after that, so Jason Beam stepped in, and I think I was reading on the Illini Inquirer preview this morning that he threw for 14 touchdowns and like 1,000-something yards and like 4 starts last year. So he's more than capable.
You've got plenty of weapons on this Kansas offense. And I know that is something that you asked Matt Tate earlier this week as well, to just kind of not only just those two quarterbacks, but you've got a lot of stuff elsewhere for this Illini defense to contend with tonight.
Well, Devin Neal's their top running back, and he's a Lawrence kid, born and raised in town there, you know, and he's talented, man. I mean, he's got NFL future written all over him, and so that's where it starts. You know, it's a big deal there, but they have a good group of running backs. It's not just Devin. And then their receivers, they're all back from last year. You know, they're all – experienced guys that can make plays and play well together. And, you know, Luke Grimm's a scrappy, you know, kind of slot receiver type of guy who scored a touchdown last week. He left that game, but I think that was probably precaution as much as anything. Lawrence Arnold's a big body. Clinton Skinner's a deep threat, big body, long, athletic dude. There's a lot to like about a lot of their guys. And, you know, their tight ends room is maybe one of the best in the Big 12, and if not the best. So it's not necessarily Heisman Trophy type names that are going to wow you, but it's a group of guys that played a lot of football, and I think more than anything, they played a lot of football together. And that's as much as anything the most important part of it.
Matt Tate covering this game, of course, from the Kansas point of view. So obviously this is a squad that's not only loaded offensively, Kyle, but these are guys that have proven it, and that makes a big difference.
We talked about it in the offseason too, how they returned 10 of 11 offensive starters from last year, and it's just the continuity of an offense that was so good last year is scary.
It is very scary. All right, real quick, we're going to change subjects real quick. I want to talk baseball for a second. A former Cardinal farmhand is dealing today against the Cubbies. But what a game this has been from both your side and the Diamondback side. Zach Gallen has looked great. Who was throwing for the Cubbies?
Jameson Taillon, give him credit.
Wow.
Six innings, one hit, no runs.
Unbelievable.
In this one. But Cubs bullpen came in, gave up one sole run that now looks like it may be the difference as the D-backs lead at 1-0 in the ninth.
Who? What happened last night?
Diamondbacks won the opener.
Oh, they did.
6-2.
Okay, my apologies. I honestly didn't know that.
No, it's a problem, though, because now if you lose these first two games, all of a sudden you got a little urgency going into the weekend.
When does Steele throw?
Tomorrow.
Okay. That's all you got to do is like say, when's our ace? When's he on the hill? And we'll get rolling from there. All right, so you've got that going on. Now, last night, that was amazing. The Kansas City Chiefs actually lost a football game, and the Chiefs had the ball with under two to play. Can I say this before we get into the game itself? Did you watch the Jared Goff interview after the game on the field?
I did not.
Okay. So they were interviewing Goff. Detroit has this big win. You know, let's be honest. It's the Detroit Lions. When have they ever had that many big wins? And Jared Goff was asked, you know, just like one of the questions was essentially, hey, you gave the ball, you know, Patrick Mahomes essentially had 2 minutes left at the end, and Goff's like, well, I know our defense is good and I trust our defense. And it's like, really? He doesn't say anything about Mahomes. And then he's just talking like, well, you know, this is a team that we knew we could come in here and win this game. No, you didn't. you're the Detroit Lions.
That's the
Lions.
Media answer, though.
I know, but he just looked like an absolute idiot. And it's almost like that where you want to pull for the Lions. And now I'm almost like, I hope they go back to just the way they were. Because it was amazing. Mm. But listen, the Lions played well. They have got a lot of weapons in that offense and defense. But offensively, they've not only got weapons, they've got a lot of speed.
They do. They looked really good. I thought their defense played really well against the Chiefs for most of that night. But it was just, I mean, the Chiefs in that game, the wide receivers for the Kansas City Chiefs had about as bad of a performance as I've seen from an NFL wide receiver core. We did kind of downplayed yesterday when we were previewing the game how Travis Kelce's out, but it's still Patrick Mahomes out there. Well, he really missed Travis Kelce last night because Kadarius Toney had multiple massive drops there, and that was hard to watch. He kind of felt like, you know, I don't feel bad for Mahomes because this guy's won two Super Bowls and has been in the best offensive system in the league. But last night I felt a little bad for him because he was hitting guys and they just weren't coming through for him, and he missed Travis Kelce a lot. But regardless, to go into Arrowhead for the Lions, their first week one victory to start a season since 2017.
Are you serious?
The first time they won their week one game.
Holy cow.
They had one tie in there. They actually tied the Cardinals in 2019.
Yeah, well, that makes sense.
But they have not won one since 2017. So the Lions feeling good. That's a heck of a win.
And we'll have to ask Pipes about this because we're going to talk to him coming up here about the Packers and the Bears this weekend. But I don't know. I don't think I had Detroit winning that division, and I don't think there's anything changing my mind, especially after last night. I mean, that is a team that can run the football. Goff is you know, pretty solid quarterback when
really
it comes
is.
To he's more of a completion percentage kind of guy and move the ball. And that defense with Hutchinson is, am I saying that right?
Yep.
Yeah. I mean, that's fun. And Kirby Joseph, of course, on the back end for the Detroit Lions. So kind of a surprise to start the NFL season, and if that'll tell you anything, this should be one heck of a season.
Oh, I think so.
I think we're going to have a lot of fun in the NFL. All right, when we come back, speaking of that, Bears open with the Packers. They close with the Packers. That's unbelievable there. That's pretty interesting that they're going to
do that.
They
knew what they were doing when they set the schedule up that way.
Yes, they did. So Derek Piper is going to join us from Florida. We're going to ask his thoughts now that we're edging closer to the Packers and Bears on Sunday. We'll get his thoughts on that. Also, Illinois and Kansas. Want to ask him what he's thinking and what his gut is telling him going into the game tonight at Memorial Stadium in Kansas. It's some dude's name and then Memorial Stadium. Mm-hmm. So I apologize to the dude, but yeah, pretty
David
cool.
Booth.
David Booth.
Memorial Stadium,
okay.
Lawrence, Kansas.
So there you go. And, man, I just never thought I'd have a big football game against Kansas.
I know.
Never in my life.
When this got originally scheduled, this had to get scheduled like 2017 way back then.
Yeah. It's unbelievable.
You would have laughed at this matchup like, oh, the two worst programs right. in the Power Five. This should be fun. But here we are.
Yeah, and it's funny because we as Illini fans sit there and kind of woe is me about the idea that every time we schedule a team 6 years out, they become really good like Duke. Now that you play in a couple of years, going out and whipping Clemson. But yet, look at Kansas on the other hand. You know Kansas fans were sitting there going, oh, Illinois, we could probably beat Illinois. And now all of a sudden, oh, great. Now Illinois is this team that's on the rise, and now we've got to play them. So it is very interesting how these two ended up hooking up, and it should be a fun one tonight. We'll talk more about it with Derek Piper next. It is The Drive.
At Busey Bank, we're proud to serve our local community through financial guidance and community investment. Offering sound advice and actionable insight, Busey builds financial strength, supports homeownership dreams, and offers customized lending strategies, connecting with our neighbors to build stronger communities. Busey Bank, Equal Housing Lender, Member FDIC. Proud to be the official bank of the Fighting Illini.
Habitat for Humanity of Champaign County has been bringing people together to build homes, communities, and hope since 1991. To date, Habitat of Champaign has built 118 homes, but the need for safe, decent, and affordable housing is greater than ever. When you donate your time or money to Habitat or make a purchase from the Habitat Restore, you are empowering local families and helping them achieve the strength, stability, and self-reliance they need to build a bright future for themselves. For more information about Habitat for Humanity of Champaign, please visit cuhabitat.org.
It's Street Fest. Chow Down in Campus Town, located on 6th Street between Green and Healy. Saturday, September 9th between 1 and 7, presented by JSM Living. Enjoy a jam-packed afternoon with vendors, special performances, and free music. Also explore a global array of $5 food and drink items at participating restaurants for a chance to win prizes. Street Fest. Chow Down in Campus Town, September 9th, starting at 1. Sponsored by the City of Champaign, the Axe Bar, the Music Shop, Champaign Park District, Orson Music, Illini Union Bookstore, and Champaign Center Partnership. Learn more at ChampaignCenter.com.
Illini fans, for a limited time at Jet's Pizza, new popcorn chicken pizzas. Their tasty popcorn chicken on their famous BBQ, Aloha BBQ, Buffalo Ranch, or Bacon Ranch pizzas. It's new and a limited time offer, so don't miss out. Try any of the four for just $17.99. Code BBQ. Their popcorn chicken pizzas are perfect to order while watching football with friends and family. Try their tasty popcorn chicken on their famous BBQ, Aloha BBQ, Buffalo Ranch, or Bacon Ranch pizzas. Just $17.99. Code BBQ. Jets, better because it has to be.
You've changed thousands of diapers, played hours of peekaboo and duck duck goose because you'd do anything for your kids. That's why it's so important to protect them with life insurance from State Farm. State Farm agent Kurt Lenshaw will help make it easy and affordable to help you protect your family no matter what the future holds. Because for the people you do anything for, life insurance could mean everything. Call State Farm agent Kurt Lenshaw in Champaign-Urbana today. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
At ABC Heating and Air, it's our promise to help you always be comfortable. Do you need rescued because you're burning hot? Do you need rescued because your air is shot? Call ABC Heating and Air at 352-5400 and let us rescue you from the heat. ABC Heating and Air, 352-5400. Can't you see you need to call me at ABC? Call ABC Heating and Air. That's ABC Heating and Air, 352-5400.
Hey, could you tell me what aisle your car batteries are in?
Sure, I'll go grab one for you. Here's your battery. It might be expired, but oh well. Also, the brand isn't that great, but it should work for at least a year or two, maybe. Anyways, I went ahead and charged you for it, and here's the battery. Okay, have a great day.
What just happened?
Sometimes good things are hard to find, but they're worth the wait. Make the trip out to Interstate All Battery Center at 2504 North Mattis Avenue and get all of your battery needs taken care of by the trusted professionals. Give them a call today at 355-4855.
Football fans, plan to party at Pia's before, after, and during games as you get on the watch parties with great prizes and giveaways during the fourth quarter on special game days. Get five bottles in the Coors Light bucket for $16.75 or enjoy the $8.95 pitcher special on Illini game days. It's $5 for Blue Moon drafts and Jack Daniels drinks. Murder your thirst with Liquid Death water and CBD products. Pia's is the place to party, 1609 West Springfield Avenue in Champaign.
Hi, it's Stevie J. Start your day with me along with Diane Ducey, weekday mornings 7 to 9, here on ESPN Radio 93.5.
goes Zach Gallen. One career shutout.
It's about to be two.
Who you got up this inning?
Looks like, well, you got Yan Gomes and then the top of the order, so it's Topman and Horner.
Big break there. Little pop-up goes foul. Maybe that's the key. Maybe that's the key for Kyle. I took over the reins today at the board so that you could sit there and watch the game. That's just kind of how nice I am.
May have been better if I couldn't watch, though. They have two hits in this game.
We're going to go down to Florida now for Derek Piper. But before I bring Pipes on, there's another family down in Florida right now in the Tampa area listening to the McGreenies. Shout out to the McGreenies. Grandpa Bill's going to be eating lunch with me Sunday. We're going to be watching the Bears and Packers together. I'm guessing they'll be stressed out, and I'll just be looking. I'll be leaning back, having a beer, knowing the Cardinals got beat by 20 and that the Texans got beat by 20, and I'll just be like, everything's working in my plan right now. Derek Piper, are you on the beach?
I am not, actually, no. I went out for a beer run about to hit the pool after I hopped off the phone with you guys. I've been plenty of feet in the sand down here the last week, though, so I appreciate you guys holding down the fort, and I'm excited to talk some football.
Yeah, it's ironic that I'm going to switch spots with you now here in a minute and head down that direction, and you come up here. How's Cade loving Florida trip number two?
He's doing great. Yeah, he loves the beach for sure. He's a beach boy now. He's comfortable. He's roaming around. He's taking walks. He's waving at people. And I know, so we went to Panama City Beach, which PCB, big spring break place.
Yes.
The vacation I'm on is nothing like that. We had three kids under five, so a little bit different vibe versus spring break. But I love chilling with my guy, and it's been a lot of fun.
There is nothing better than that at all. All right, have you just kind of escaped the sports world, or have you just been paying attention and understanding what's still going on around the world?
A little of both. My wife makes sure I escape a little bit, but I had the Chiefs-Lions game on last night. Pretty crazy result there. I listened to you guys there in the first segment. Yeah, I mean, Kadarius telling you, I'm ashamed to say that I took him in one of my fantasy drafts, and I don't know if he'll be on a team here in a week or two, but yeah, and then we've talked about it for months. I've been excited for this Illinois-Kansas game for a long time, and I'm really, really interested to see what this one's going to look like tonight. And then, of course, I mean, I got the flight tomorrow, which I'm not nervous at all for, but Sunday, Bears-Packers has to be just a mix of emotions. I'm all the way back in emotionally on the Bears. It's still the team that I actually think can do some things, and Aaron Rodgers is gone, so I'm willing to invest all of my heart in this one, which is dangerous but also exciting at the same time.
Well, there's no doubt, and I want to get to that Illinois-Kansas with you, but you kind of went that direction with the Bears and the Packers opening the season and then closing the season against each other. You notice what Detroit did last night as a team that many project to win that division, but certainly they got off to a great start winning a game at Kansas City that probably nobody else in that division does. So that's kind of a one-up thing, or maybe even a two-up for Detroit at this point. How big, though, do you think this game is for the Bears in this rivalry? A Green Bay team that Kyle pointed out the other day, you wouldn't have been happy, Derek, that Green Bay has won eight straight in this rivalry. How big is this game for the Bears? I mean, can you make it too big of a deal in the idea that it's one of 16? Or is it the idea that there's a changing in the guard in Green Bay? You feel like the Bears have some momentum on their side. I mean, where does this rank in terms of how big of a game and an opener this would be for the Chicago Bears?
Well, if Kyle didn't know before, I feel like you could see the pain in my eyes of wearing that eight straight loss to the Packers every day that I walk into the studio. But if not, now you know why. I think for the fan base, this is as big as it gets, because Rodgers is finally, his shadow's finally no longer cast on the Soldier Field, a place that he let us all know that he owns. And the fact that their quarterback is now gone, and we feel like we have one, finally a franchise quarterback who's our guy. So they go out in the offseason, and they don't have the best offense in the league. They don't have, you know, a crazy, just an embarrassment of riches in wide receiver. But DJ Moore is legit wide receiver one. We hope that Claypool is worth that second-round pick that we gave up for him. And just to see the progression year three for Justin Fields now. So defensively, they still have to show that they can take a big enough step forward. I think, you know, the front seven in particular, they did invest a decent amount of money in linebacker with Tremaine Edmonds and T.J. Edwards, who are good linebackers, but can they stop the run well enough in terms of the front line? Can they get after the quarterback? And that's why they went out and got Unique Ngakoue. So this team has gotten me really, really excited. A year or two ago, I was just downright apathetic. Really, as soon as they drafted Justin Fields, I saw the light again. So for Bears fans, this is as big as it gets, because it is just going to be demoralizing. If you feel like if there's no other time than now to beat Green Bay and you got them on your home field, this should be it. If you lose this game, it's just going to be one that is super sour. I think for the team, I mean, kind of the picture of the franchise, it's probably a year before the year. Like, I think next year expectations really set in probably pretty heavy when you got Fields in year four and going out and spending more money. But it'd be nice to get that win against your rival and to feel like this division could really – I know the Lions, a lot of talent offensively, and they're an exciting team, a lot of people buying in. Vikings, can't forget about them, maybe getting slept on a little bit, but I understand why people are doubting them. But all the close games they played in last year, the defenses are very good. If the Bears are like the Jags last year,
yeah,
and really are able to make some noise and have that quarterback with the weapons start to make some things happen, it wouldn't be crazy to see them be contenders in the division either.
No doubt.
That's what I'm hoping for. I'm convincing myself optimism is easy in week one, but man, I'll be tense on Sunday, but I'm excited for it.
Just to add to it, a Muhammad listener says the Bears have beaten the Packers three times since 2011. I feel like we're just beating up on Pipes as he's down in Florida just enjoying life, and like it all ended like 5 minutes ago. Like your vacation ended 5 minutes ago.
The problem is I've convinced myself they should win this game.
I do. I agree.
And I look at the injury report, the fact that Christian Watson's going to be out. That's a huge deal, a huge development. I mean, a big weapon in that passing game. You got Jordan Love now taking over. I mean, take away their number one wide receiver. The fact that Romeo Doubs has been out this week in practice. He's questionable with the hamstring as well. I think that adds into a recipe where the Bears should be, again, feeling like the dominoes are aligning for them to pull this thing off. But still got Aaron Jones, still got A.J. Dillon in the running game that you got to be able to deal with. And
right.
Surely the Packers are going to try to make, as best as they can, Justin Fields beat them with his arm. Like, with his legs, the Packers haven't had a really good run defense. I think that Fields will hurt them on the ground. I think the Bears can run it with Herbert and that crew in the backfield as well. But can he make some clutch throws? It's just a different type of framing with the season. You go from being the worst team in the league now to playing meaningful football right off the bat with a lot of pressure. We'll see how the Bears handle that.
Jordan Love obviously will be making his first career start for the Packers here in the regular season, and I would assume that they're going to lean pretty heavily on Jones and Dillon in that backfield that you mentioned. How equipped are the Bears to handle a run game, not just the Packers, but for most of the season? You saw out of the Lions, they've got the ability to do it, but how much do you think this Bears team is equipped to handle the Jones-Dillon duo?
It's been a weakness of the Bears. Really, last year, you look at the fact that Akeem Hicks, they didn't re-sign, they got rid of him. That Robert Quinn, they ended up trading, they traded Roquan Smith. So any chance they really had to be good up front in that front seven, they punted on to get a really good draft pick. Now you go out, and guys I mentioned earlier, like Edmonds and Edwards are a nice duo there in the middle. I like Jack Sanborn, too. I think the product out of the Big Ten, slotting in there as a outside linebacker as well. I think that linebacker group can do some work in terms of coming up and making plays. Now, do you have enough beef as a defensive tackle? Do you have enough depth just kind of on that front four in general to really stop a very stout run game? I think that remains to be seen. I do like that Ngakoue can get after the quarterback, and he's been a double-digit sack guy in his past. So I think that's still where I see the biggest flaw defensively. I like our secondary quite a bit. I think there's a lot of talent in the back end. They're young overall. And Kyler Gordon, Jaquan Brisker are guys that were rookies last year. Jalen Johnson is now a younger guy as a corner number one for us, and they get Tariq Stevenson too. But I think overall it's a pretty talented secondary. And I actually thought Eddie Jackson had a pretty good season last year, and hopefully he can build off of that. So, but I agree with you. I think that the Green Bay is going to try to lean on that ground game as much as possible. And I think Jordan Love has the ability to hurt you. Like he's kind of been someone I watched this preseason stuff. Like he made some good throws. He just right. kind of has those youthful, with a lot of quarterbacks. I mean, he's got some highs and lows. You can ride the roller coaster with him, and he'll make some bad decisions, which hopefully I'd love to see Eddie Jackson take back for six the other way. But I think the Bears ideally make Love kind of play from behind a little bit and just make the Packers try to get aggressive offensively. If you can score early and make them try to play from behind, I think that could put more pressure on him versus if they can kind of sit there and hand it off, you know, 30 times and not feel like they're having a ton of urgency to try to put up a bunch of points.
How nervous are you to see Jordan Love as a full-time starter?
Are you
just too scarred now? And it's just like, all right, this guy's probably going to be another Packers hit at the quarterback position. Or are you optimistic that maybe it is time that the Packers are going to take a step backward and Jordan
Finally,
Love isn't going to be a Hall of Famer?
Yeah, it can't happen again. It can't. It just can't. I don't know how possible that is for them to hit on another quarterback and turn him into a Hall of Famer. Has that ever happened? Like, I don't know that any franchise has gone Hall of Famer, Hall of Famer, Hall of Famer in terms of quarterback.
Amen.
I would say no, but he is a first-round pick. He was one for a reason. I know that some thought he might have been a reach there a little bit late first round. And I'll believe it when I see it. I don't think he's going to stink. I just feel like it's going to be – I mean, come on. The universe has to write this a little bit. There has to be some form of a little bit of growing pains, a little bit of suffering, a little bit of, oh, crap, we don't have number 4 or number 12 back there anymore. But who knows? I mean, as Lon knows, and even you, Kyle, you've talked about not seeing very many playoff games in your lifetime for your Dolphins. I mean,
zero. Oh, it's zero wins.
Yeah. Some franchises, fans are in the have-not category. The Packers have been one of the haves, but it's their time to start missing something out of the quarterback position. I think that's going to happen.
Switching gears to the Illini now. Obviously, big game tonight against Kansas. What did you make of, assuming you were able to catch most of that game on Saturday night against Toledo, what did you make of them being able to squeak out a 30-28 win over Toledo despite some struggles? And how confident are you tonight heading into this one against Kansas?
I mean, it was downright survival. It was an incredible catch by Casey Washington. It was a great job of Altmyer hanging in the pocket and delivering a great throw right before getting smashed. Before that, there were some things that I did like the Miles Scott pick six. It was a great break on the ball in a spot when Illinois really needed it. It was a huge play. But outside of that, I mean, Illinois was downright lucky to win that game. Like the fact of you let a MAC team come into your house, Illinois thought that, and we all thought, they'd be able to push them around in the run game, push them around, getting it up for the quarterback, and they didn't. I mean, they got beat in the trenches. They were undisciplined football. They had a bunch of penalties, and they were very, very fortunate to win that game. Now, luckily, you get to move on. You get to learn from that and still have a win in the win column. So I'm not writing them off. I'm not saying that we should judge everything off of that game and apply it to the rest of their schedule, but as you guys know, and those that have listened to us leading up to this season, this Kansas game has been one that has scared me. I've been excited for it for Illinois and just as a fan to watch it. But Jalen Daniels is really, really talented. Like the fact that he is coming off a back injury, back tightness was causing him to miss the opener. I think that's a positive for Illinois. But really, I mean, it's a passing attack that scares me because he threw for 550 yards against Arkansas before he got hurt last year. I mean, through the first quarter of the season, first third of the season, he's one of the best quarterbacks in all of the country. So I think that unless Johnny Newton and Keith Randolph, Akis, which are all very capable of doing it, like put him in pressure situations early in this game and even put some hits on him to make him feel something, it's going to be a long day on the back end.
No doubt.
Kansas is a really it's a creative offense. They're a big play offense, and they can put it on you in a hurry if you let them.
I do like that. I mean, Altmyer's talented. That was a great thing to see. I think that my confidence in Illinois maybe playing a higher scoring game did go up because of what he showed. But on the whole, I'm not terribly optimistic about Illinois winning it. Wouldn't shock me, but I do think that Kansas probably gets it done.
All right, I want the prediction, Derek Piper, but I want to know the key. We were talking about earlier this week, Kyle and I, about time of possession. And obviously that is something that Brett Bielema-led squads would love to win every time, kind of wear down the other team in terms of your offensive, defensive line, use big running backs to churn out yards and keep the clock moving. I think that's a huge key. I know you would agree with that as well. But what's Pipe's big key for tonight? And then is Illinois getting the win? I'm anxious to hear.
Yeah, no, I agree with you guys. Like, being able to control the pace of the game, try to keep Daniels on the sideline as much as possible, long sustained drives, would be huge for Illinois. And that's really the recipe. Look at Kansas, one of the worst run defenses in the country last year, and they got gashed on the ground. And Josh McCray, Reggie Love, can they do that? And obviously they got to have really good line play, which Illinois didn't have in week one, particularly from the center includes onto the right side. I really like what you got on the left. So can they get that going? I think you also got to be able to, in a game where you're facing a high-powered offense, you get in the red zone, you got to score a touchdown. I don't think you can settle for field goals in this game. I think if you have that, then all of a sudden you know, Kansas puts up two touchdowns, you settle for a couple of field goals. You're putting yourself behind the eight ball in that sense. So, and I think turnovers too. I think the ability defensively, whether it be a sack fumble, whether it be another pick by a guy like Miles Scott, I think that would be something that Illinois is really going to try to be able to do. And I said it in the last answer too, but putting hits on Daniels and really start, you know, ring his bell a little bit early in that game. A guy who didn't play week one, didn't get to shake off any of the rust that he might have off the back injury. I think that's something that I'm definitely going to be looking for early in the game. Ultimately, I picked Kansas 35, Illinois 24. I think Kansas wins and they cover the spread, but hopefully I'm wrong. I'd love to be wrong. And I do like the fact that, yeah, I mean, there were some things to go back in the way that Illinois designed their defense against a dual threat quarterback.
Sure.
Hopefully they'll make some tweaks to that. Hopefully they'll maybe send a little bit more pressure or just kind of get a little bit more acclimated to that. You do have Jim Leonard and Henry and Bielema working on that throughout this week. So hopefully they've been able to adapt and adjust. But kind of as my last point, you guys were talking about, this is just kind of a cherry on top game. Like, this is one of those contests that you go into somebody's house with a lot of expectations this year. Like, Kansas expect to be pretty good. This is one of those, like, how soon can you arrive as a program, like, in terms of sustaining who you are? Illinois sent three, defensive players to the draft last year. And programs like Wisconsin and Iowa have been doing that for a while, and they still turn around the next year and win 7, 8, 9 games. If Illinois wins this game, then all of a sudden you're – I'm not saying you're those programs, but that's what the trend looks like if you're trying to be them. So that's what this game could mean for Illinois if they do win it. And obviously it would set up a hell of an environment for Illinois Penn State, which I know we'd all love to be a part of the following weekend.
And we will see Pipes in the tailgate lot for that Penn State game. So I'm excited to see that, and let's get it rolling. Has the weather been good down there?
It's been good, yeah. It's hot. If you're not by the water, it's very hot. But, I've found the spot to be. Get the umbrella up, and you get the water, it's good. And then I'm about to... I just got my take my beers inside, hop by the hotel pool, and that's where I'll be until kickoff.
I'm loving it. Like, the rest of your party is like, where did Piper? We sent him like an hour ago to get beer, and they're like, oh, now you finally show up, and it's warm. Thanks a lot, Derek. Hey,
yeah,
buddy,
always
appreciate your time, my friend. Sorry to interrupt your vacation. Enjoy the last couple days, and let's get an Illini win tonight, my man.
Sounds great. Great talking to you guys, and Lon, you enjoy Florida. I got the seat warm for you.
Let's go. I'm ready. I'm on my way, my man. We'll talk to you soon.
Safe travels. Appreciate it.
All right, buddy. That is Derek Piper, co-host of The Drive with Tay and Piper, joining us on the Tapman's Towing phone line. Always good to get his perspective. I could tell he's nervous for this Bears-Packers game.
Oh, yeah. I would be.
I would be too, right? You're sitting here on the cusp of the unknown. And here's what you've known for the last two decades. Brett Favre and Aaron Rodgers. Or however many years they've been there. That's what you've known. And now you're on the cusp of the unknown. And you're sitting there thinking, oh. I mean, this... I can see how this is one of the most... I'm not even a Bears fan. I just don't want to see the Packers have another great quarterback. I'm like anybody else. I mean, enough. So even me, I'm on the cusp of this weekend to sit there and I'm hoping I'm down in Florida at 4:30 Eastern time and watching the Bears just dismantle Jordan Love. I mean, if he comes out throwing just dimes and throwing touchdowns, I'm going to be in Florida going, are you serious?
And there's just the pressure of this specific game.
With it is.
All offseason, Aaron Rodgers goes to the Jets. Justin Fields has gotten a lot of hype here. You get him DJ Moore. You get him some offensive line help. All the hype has been, here come the Bears.
Yes.
It's Justin Fields' time, and the Packers are done. If the Packers come into Soldier Field and win week one with Jordan Love at quarterback, that would be so hard to swallow for Bears fans out there. So I would be really nervous in that spot.
All right, I got to do this. Speaking of Bears and Packers, I got exactly where you need to be Sunday, and that is at Pia's for the patio tailgate and watch party. They're having a tailgate trailer, big screen TV with satellite this Sunday. How about noon to 3, patio tailgate cookout. Brats, hot dogs, tenderloins. It's a party worthy of primetime. And just to help everybody else or everybody out that's a Bears fan, how about this? They're giving away Bears tickets. They're giving away a Justin Fields jersey. There's Bears koozies and more. I put that together as booze. You put booze in the Bears koozie. They also are going to have interactive raffles and cornhole or bags, however you want to say it. Kickoff is 3:25, but get there at noon for the patio tailgate cookout at Pia's. You know if it's at Pia's, they're going to do it right. $4 Miller Lite drafts, 22-ounce keeper mugs. You can get a bucket of Miller Lite for $16.75. They've got $4 Simply Lemonade, $5 Blue Moon drafts. They also have a keeper mug for that. $5 Jack Daniels, $5 Bloody Marys. Everything you need to enjoy your Sunday at Pia's. All right, I'm going to take it to the top here. The Cubbies end up falling in this game. Zach Gallen throws his second.
Nothing he can do. Zach Gallen, unbelievable. Complete game shutout. 3 hits.
It's amazing. That kid just knows where to throw the ball. I mean, it disgusts you as a Cardinals fan to watch him and Alcantara pitch and to think that if you had those two in your rotation, the number one question that you have on this team right now is that. And you not only don't have that, but those are two of the best in baseball. And it's disgusting to see. All right, so the Cubbies are now what? Two? They're still...
They still got a bit of a cushion in the wild card. I want to say they're still at least two games up on that front, maybe even 2.5 still. But right when you get within a game and a half of Milwaukee in the division, and the Diamondbacks are a team that you're currently on top of in that wild card race. They started... Last night, 4 back. Now they're 2 back, and he got 2 more with them this weekend. So Justin Steele, once again, it's win day with him. He's the ace. He's got to go out there and find a way to snap this little 2-game skid.
Well, listen, it is one of those where it's nice to have a guy like Justin Steele that has all season basically been your closer, if you will. Not in terms of a closer in a game, but he's been the stopper.
Mm-hmm.
And really, there have been times where the Cubs have needed him to be the stopper, but nothing more important than tomorrow. And I think you guys are still in good shape. You're playing unbelievable baseball. I mean, when it seems weird to lose 2 in a row, that's when you know you've been playing unbelievable baseball this entire season.
Yes, but at the same time, like if you come out of Wrigley this weekend and lose a series to a team you're battling in the wild card
race,
I mean, that wouldn't sit right. Now you'd have more pressure on you. You've built up this nice little cushion here recently in the last couple weeks. The last thing you want to do is now all of a sudden be in a spot where every game is deciding whether you're in or out.
Tell me about the next part of the schedule for the Cubs. You've had seven in a row, I believe, at home against the Giants, who you swept, and now the Arizona Diamondbacks, two teams that are in the thick of things. With the Cubs now, I assume, heading on the road or maybe completing another part of a homestand. But it seems like this year there are just not very many long homestands because everybody's playing everybody. So it seems like you're home for a bit, you're gone. You're home for a bit, you're gone. So what are we looking at with the Cubbies here soon?
They do head on the road next week. They go to Colorado to take on the Rockies.
That's always fun to know.
That's a series that you should be able to win, but at the same time, Coors Field is always you hate playing there. Then they go see the same Diamondbacks team again in Arizona next weekend before they come back to Wrigley to take on the Pirates and then end the season. They got the Rockies again at home at Wrigley for three, and then it's Braves and Brewers to end the year. So you want to bank a couple wins there and put yourself in position heading into those two.
Okay. All right. So Packers or Bears fans going to be nervous this weekend. Kyle's getting nervous now. I have nothing to get nervous about except for Illinois. And we'll talk more about the Illini going up against the Jayhawks. Man, that's coming up in like, what, 2.5 hours?
2.5 hours. We probably next hour at around 4:30 because now they released the injury news two hours before. There's a couple question marks there with like an Isaiah Adams, a Tyler Strain. We'll probably get some news on that.
Okay, we'll find all that out. I got another job to do here, and that's to tell you about Game Day Spirit. Next Saturday against Penn State is orange out. That means, come on, you know what that means. You got to wear orange. And if you're like me, I have a nice I don't have a Penn State shirt, I promise. I have a nice Illinois orange t-shirt, but it's a couple, 2-3 years old. I need to get updated on that. And that's why I'm going to be hitting Game Day Spirit soon. In fact, I may do it tonight. And on my way to possibly, go ahead. I'm sorry.
I didn't mean to jump in.
No, go.
I think I'm going to get over there this weekend and get some new stuff for football season.
Heck yeah, man. I mean, and I'm assuming with it being orange out, they are going to have plenty, plenty of orange in the stores, both at Neal and also down on Green. So get your orange shirts at Game Day Spirit. Get your get whatever you want, but make sure you're wearing orange. Coming up next Saturday, that an 11 a.m. game. Go to GameDaySpirit.com to check out everything you need. Head to the store if you're like me and you want to try it on. All right, we are back next hour. More Illinois-Kansas chatter. It is The Drive.
When we put family first, we create moments that last a lifetime. We pass memories down through generations. But we can all declare, I remember when.
Far side, Pat Bryant, touchdown. Isaiah Williams turns upfield, 45, 40, trouble, he's sacked. Seth Coleman.
It's your turn to create these memories. Illinois football season tickets are on sale now for as low as $99 at FightingIllini.com.
Crossroads Contractor Supply specializes in the delivery of tools and supplies within a 150-mile radius of Champaign-Urbana. Reliable, timely, and with reasonable prices, Crossroads Contractor Supply knows what equipment and tools are needed for your job. Their slogan, "We have it when you need it." Get the job done right with proper tools and equipment. Did something break? Construction materials as well as safety equipment all available. Call 402-8123. Visit Crossroads Contractor Supply IL.
A tradition of excellence over 150 years in the making. At Busey Bank, we're committed to building relationships that span generations. Wherever your journey in life leads you, we are with you along the way, creating a legacy for you and your family. Busey Bank, building business, growing wealth since 1868, proud to be the official bank of the Fighting Illini. Member FDIC.
You're listening to WSJK ESPN 93.5 Tuscola.